Loomis was going to be at a local store signing autographs. Might have been a sports figure. Maybe it was a famous singer or a movie star or a famous author. And so you knew they were going to be there, and maybe you were waiting weeks and months. You just couldn't wait. The anticipation just built over and over, and every day it just got stronger. We're going to talk about someone like that today. But he wasn't waiting for a famous football player or a famous author or a movie star. He had been looking and waiting for the Son of God. His name was Simeon. We don't know how long he had been waiting, but he had been anticipating the Messiah for a very long time. At least we get that from the text. But the background to this is very important. I want us to go to Luke chapter 2 for a minute. This may be a story that you haven't read in a very long time, but it's an important one, and it teaches us a number of lessons. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, this is how Luke records the background. Now, when the days of her purification, this is talking about Mary after she gave birth to Jesus, according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now remember, Mary and Joseph were Jews, and the law of Moses was still in effect. So according to Leviticus chapter 12, they were to do certain things. They were to offer a burnt offering and a sin offering. And because they were poor, then they were allowed to offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we see right off the bat that Mary and Joseph were fairly poor. So they take Christ to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Jesus is about 40, 41 days old at this point in his life. They make this sacrifice. And it's there that they meet this man named Simeon. What kind of man was he? Verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was a good man. He was a good man. The Bible says, first of all, that he was just. The idea is righteous. He did what was right according to God. In other words, he was following the commandments of the Lord. That's what the idea of someone who's just and righteous is. They follow the commandments of the Lord. So that's what Simeon was doing. Simeon, of course, was also living during the time that the law of Moses was in effect. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew those prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, a great redeemer for Israel. He was also said to be devout. Some versions might use the word pious or holy. He was very concerned about doing what was right. He was devoted to the things of the Lord. So we have this man. This is his character. He was just. He was righteous. He was devout. He was pious. This is the kind of person Simeon was. But it says he was doing what? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon knew the Old Testament scriptures. Simeon knew about the prophecies, especially as they were foretold by Isaiah. Some 700 plus years before this time. Can you imagine 700 years? Isaiah sometimes called the prophet of the Messiah. We go back to Isaiah chapter 49, and we see something very significant there. Isaiah 49, and I hope you have your Bibles, I hope you're following along, because you'll see some amazing prophecies and how they were fulfilled. Isaiah 49, and we're going to be looking, first of all, at verse 13. So here's Simeon. He knows these Old Testament scriptures. He knows these Old Testament prophecies. Notice what verse 13 says. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy on His afflicted. Notice he says He will comfort His people. He's called a comforter. Jesus was a comforter. And it says He will have mercy on His afflicted. So here's Simeon. He's waiting for the one who would comfort Israel. He knew what Isaiah had said back in Isaiah 49. Notice verse 23. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. See, that's what he was doing. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for the Redeemer. He certainly wasn't the only one. We see later in Luke chapter 2 and verse 38 that there were a number of people who were looking for the Redeemer in Israel. And in particular, they were looking for him to come in Jerusalem. So he knew these prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And again, we don't know how long he had been waiting, but apparently it had been some time. And I'm sure that anticipation had gotten greater and greater and greater. He had been granted a favor because God said through the Holy Spirit that Simeon would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine being told that? God told Simeon that you will not die until you actually see the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. You will live. So every day that he lived, he was anticipating that great moment. Well, the moment comes. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. So the Holy Spirit leads Simeon to the temple. Obviously, this is God working so that Simeon will be in the temple the same time Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. But think about that first before what he says. He's been anticipating this day for weeks, months, years. He'd been looking forward to meeting the Redeemer, to seeing the Messiah, to actually being in the presence of the Son of God. And now that moment's here. And so he's there in the temple of God to see the Son of God. And what does he do? He takes him in his arms. Now again, Jesus is like 41 days old, so he's tiny. So we see this aged man, Simeon, holding this little baby. Not just any baby, but the Son of God. I cannot imagine what Simeon must be feeling at this point. Getting to actually hold the Son of God in his arms. But that's exactly what he's doing. And what does he do and say? Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Again, this is something Simeon knew from prophecy would happen. Again, going back to Isaiah, this time Isaiah 52. Now remember what Simeon had said. He's holding Jesus in his arms, And in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 10, this is what Isaiah had said about the coming of the Messiah. Verse 10 of Isaiah 52. The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Who would do that? All the nations of the earth would see the salvation of God. It wasn't just going to be for the Jewish people. It was going to be for everyone. All nations, all races, all ethnic backgrounds, everybody would enjoy, receive the blessings of this one who Simeon is holding. This is the one he's holding, the one he's been anticipating for such a long time. Salvation would be for all people. Remember Luke's account of the Great Commission in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. He tells the apostles that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in His name among all peoples, beginning at Jerusalem. All peoples. So while Simeon is holding Jesus in his arms, no doubt he is thinking about this very thing. This is the one who's bringing salvation to the entire world. That's why he was born, that's why he came into the world, that's why he died on the cross, was for the salvation of all nations. Well, Simeon says, he's referring to Jesus, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. What does a light do? It reveals. It reveals things that are in darkness. Jesus was going to reveal salvation to all people. Now, the Jews had been hearing for centuries that a Messiah was coming. The Jews, in their scriptures, knew where He was going to be born, the time approximately He was going to be born, the conditions in which He was going to be born. He'd be born of a virgin. They knew these prophecies. But now Simeon says that Jesus was going to be a light to all nations. And then he says, it was also going to be the glory of your people, Israel. God chose Israel centuries before this time to be the conduit through which the Messiah would come. And when you look at that plan of redemption, it's amazing how often it got down to one person. One person in that plan of redemption. And we see that whole timeline, that whole historical timeline, how God, providentially and sometimes miraculously, made sure that the Messiah would come through the nation of Israel. It's a great study. Well, then, Simeon makes some prophecies. Well, it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. No doubt, Jesus' parents saw the truth in a new way. But they were probably amazed that Simeon knew it. They didn't know Simeon. And so when they walk into the temple and this man comes up and picks up their baby and starts talking about who the baby is, they're probably pretty astonished. They're amazed, especially at what he says. Who this baby is. And so they probably see Jesus in a new way, and they're probably amazed at what this man is saying. Well, then Simeon makes some prophecies, some that still affect us today. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many. And we know that's exactly what happened. But Isaiah had prophesied about this. Back in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would be this very thing. Isaiah chapter 8, we'll read verses 14 and 15. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer. He says in verse 14, He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. So more than 700 years before the birth of Christ, here we have Isaiah saying that this coming Messiah would be a stumbling block to many people in Israel. And when we look at the life of Christ during His ministry, we see all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the very people who knew those prophecies, who knew the Old Testament, and what are they doing? They're rejecting Christ as the Redeemer. They're rejecting Him. The nation as a whole rejected Him. And of all peoples, they should have known exactly who Jesus was. So here we have Simeon saying that this child, Jesus, is going to be a stumbling block. He's going to cause many to fall. And that's exactly what happened. He caused many to fall. Why? Because they didn't like the kind of Messiah He was. Many of the Jewish people wanted a great military man. They wanted someone who would come in and take the Roman government and break those shackles off. That's not what Jesus came for. Remember at His trials, He said, My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would fight, but now My kingdom is not from here. Jesus said, I didn't come to change governments. I didn't come as a political person. That's not why He came. But that's why many of the Jews wanted. And so because He wasn't what they wanted, He became a stumbling block to them. But for others, it said He would be the rising of many. Many people did accept Him for who He was and came believers. Think about the fishermen and think about the tax collectors and people like that. They were believers. And so Simeon, holding the baby, making this prophecy, this baby will grow up and cause many people to stumble. And that's exactly what Jesus did. But He would also cause many people to rise, to become believers in God, believers in Jesus, believers in Christ. And that's exactly what happened. He would go on and say, And for a sign which will be spoken against, Jesus would be very strongly opposed. He would be spoken against, as would be His followers. In John chapter 15, we hear this about Jesus and His followers. John 15, verse 20. This is what Jesus knew. Of course, this is Jesus. He's in the upper room. He's with His apostles. It's hours before His crucifixion. This is what He says in verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept My word, they will keep yours also. Jesus repeatedly told His followers that because of who He was, people would not like them. They would hate them. They would persecute them. And that's exactly what happened. So Simeon here is saying that very thing. Jesus would be for a sign which would be spoken against. And then to Mary, He says, A sword will pierce through your own soul also. This jumps ahead about 30-some years to crucifixion. Who's there at the foot of the cross? Who's watching the crucifixion? Mary. Who's with her? John. So Mary is there watching her son. Die on the cross. Simeon says, he'll be a sword that will pierce your soul. How terrible she must have felt that day. And he ends up by saying, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The wickedness of men's hearts were never more evident than when Jesus was crucified. Think about all the things that people did or said to Jesus on that last day. And Simeon is here holding this baby saying that in 30-some years, this is going to happen. And we also know that on the last day of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat, things that we've said and thought and done will be revealed. All thoughts will be revealed. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this himself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, therefore do not fear them, those that can only kill the body, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Everything will be revealed. Anticipation. Anticipation. You know, we need that same sense of expectation, that same sense of anticipation for Christ's second coming that Simeon had for his first. Simeon was anticipating every day as it went by. Well, this day I didn't see the Son of God. Maybe it will be tomorrow. He didn't know when Christ was going to come. He didn't have any idea. He knew He was coming, and He expected Him to come, and He was anticipating Jesus coming, but He had no idea, neither do we. We know when He comes again, we know He's going to come, we don't have any idea when. So in many ways, we are very much like Simeon. We need to have that anticipation, we need to have that expectation that one day when we wake up, it will be the last day. It will be the last day. And on that last day, the Bible says, Jesus is going to judge all people. Everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Are we anticipating, like Simeon, the second coming? Are we ready for the second coming? Have we accepted that calling of the gospel to repent and be baptized? Have we experienced that wonderful new birth? Are we getting ready for that final day? Have we asked God to forgive us? Have we asked others to forgive us so that we'll be ready when that trumpet blows and when we hear that shout? Anticipation. Let's be like Simeon. So this morning as we sing this wonderful invitation song that Doug has picked out, let us think about, am I ready? Let us all stand and sing.